Good morning, everyone. Just really got one announcement this morning. The Evangelism Committee, Sam Opperman, has acquired voters' guides from the Illinois Family Institute. They are out on the shelf, and again, they're just guides. They have everybody's name in them, list positions, and say where people stand on certain positions. So, to help you understand the issues and where people who are running stand on those issues. So if you'd like one of those, please feel free. They're in a box out on the gray shelf in the addition. So having said that, yes? Oh, thank you. The Board of Christian Ed meeting this Tuesday is only for Board of Christian Ed members. Thank you. I forgot to write that down. So appreciate that. And having said that, now we turn to our opening hymn at the front of our bulletin. Seek where you may to find a way.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the September 20th worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 557, Seek Where You May to Find a Way, hymn number 557 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Debbie, Logan and Jess, and Madison Taylor are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in loving memory of Eric Taylor. Marvin Bartman is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in memory of his mother, Flora Bartman's birthday.
Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just,
will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with the responsive psalm for the day. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us to trust in your abiding grace and live according to your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the third petition?
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
What does this mean?
The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also.
How is God's will done?
God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is his good and gracious will.
The epistle reading from Philippians, the first chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Having heard the Gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together was worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 742. "For Me to Live is Jesus," hymn number 742, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text for this morning is from today's epistle reading. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. It's a rather odd statement, don't you think? That Christ would be honored by death. Now we do believe and teach that Christ died an honorable death. It is an honorable thing to die in the place of someone else, to give your life for another's. That's why Jesus became incarnate. He took on our humanity to be able to suffer and to die in our place. He took on our flesh to feel what we feel, to be tempted as we are tempted. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, called out Satan. Trade in your devotion to the Father. You can have the riches of the world. Jesus. Abuse your power for your own benefit. By the way, Jesus, this is going to hurt. It's really going to hurt. So why don't you just prove you are who you say you are and the Father is who he says he is? Just throw yourself off of here and see if he'll keep his promises. Oh yes, Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Jesus has defeated temptation, and he has defeated temptation right in the face of knowing exactly what's coming down the road at him. Friday, in religion class, this past Friday in religion class at ZLS, we were going over Ephesians chapter 5. Now, one of the things we do in our religion class is we go over Christian questions and their answers each day. And in question 17 of Christian questions and their answers, it references 4 to 5 chapters of the Bible. It's good to know, it only took me a couple dozen years to figure this out, that it's good for the kids to read through those chapters so they know exactly what they're saying. Now, question 17, what motivated Christ to die and make full payment for your sins? His great love for his Father and for me and other sinners, as it is written in John 14, Romans 5, Galatians 2, and Ephesians 5. Well, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 of the book of Ephesians says, be imitators of God. Walk in love, just as Christ loved us. And how did Christ love us? Paul goes on to say, he gave himself up for us. Paul is saying here that in Ephesians that Jesus gave himself up for us in a willful, conscious, deliberate action. An act of his will. Jesus saw floggings. Jesus saw crucifixions. He knew what was coming. And in the face of knowing exactly what was coming, he chose to deliver himself over unto death. I lay my life down. No one takes it from me, he said. I lay it down of my own accord. And what more could we say of this? Someone might choose to commit a capital crime, some not knowing or believing at least that they wouldn't be caught. Somebody might commit a crime of passion that earns them the death penalty. But Jesus, on the other hand, he committed no crime, nor was any fault found in him. And yet he knew he would be accused. He knew he would be found guilty. He knew he would be crucified and put to death on behalf of the entire human race. The description almost is as if, have you seen people in a parade? You know, the people on the sides waiting for the parade to come, and they keep stepping out, and they keep looking down to see what's coming, and they keep looking down to see what's coming. They're sticking their necks out, looking down. Jesus is sticking his neck out, and he's looking down the road at what's coming. And what's coming right at him is death. That's what's coming right towards him. He knew he was innocent. He knew he'd die for us. And even more than that, he knew he'd suffer hell in our place. And in the face of all of that, he went to the cross. He stuck his neck out for us. He saw what was coming, and he chose to endure it for our sakes. Okay, that's noble. And he didn't even want the glory for himself. Father, your name be glorified. And a voice from heaven came and said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. He wanted the Father's name to be glorified. And that is God the Father in all his actions and his devotion to humanity, to be glorified in his death. And in Ephesians, Paul says, be imitators of that. That's what we are to be, imitators of that. So now Paul is doing this very thing that he speaks of. He wants Christ to be glorified in his life or in his death. He desires that Christ be glorified. And Paul's not writing this from the boonies somewhere. He's not writing this from some comfortable villa out in the middle of nowhere where he's not under any threat. No, Paul is under house arrest. Paul can't go anywhere. He is going to be on trial for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine if you were a defendant going before the Supreme Court. You've been in jail waiting for your trial. You've been waiting for an extended period of time. You know you're going to go before the 9 highest judges in the land. And then imagine that these judges were pagan judges. If they follow the law as written, you've got a chance. If they don't follow the law as written, well, you know what could happen. So Paul, too, is looking down the street at what's coming. And he's seeing pretty clearly what's ahead of him. He's confident he will be released with an innocent verdict. Yet in the light of possible execution, he is still confident, praying that either way, Christ might be magnified by the way that he was handling things. You know, I think that's one of the things that Christianity ought to teach us to do. Christianity ought to teach us how to die. Because we're all going to die. It should teach us to die well, and in our death, to bring honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to Christ's work for us. And we all know that barring the second coming of Jesus Christ, each and every single one of us is going to taste death. We're going to die. And just like in a parade, all of us are sticking our necks out and we're looking down the street at what's coming toward us. And each and every one of us can see death coming towards us. How about, let's say, dying coming towards us? And the anticipation of death. Death is the moment when we stop breathing. And for you and I who are baptized into Christ, we're already in glory, beholding the face of God and waiting the resurrection. Dying is the process that we are all now in. We see our deaths coming towards us, and we desire that in the process of dying, Christ would be honored in our bodies. Christ would be honored by us. And let's be clear with this. Only by living in Christ, only living in Christ reaches the getting to die that is gain for us. No dying is gain unless it closes the living that has been lived in Christ. And all of that includes confession and absolution, repentance, amending our sinful lives. And only after we are cleansed by our God can we live a life of good works and love for our neighbor. Love that sacrifices. Love that helps. Love that says no when it must say no. And love that says yes when it can say yes. Dying in Christ means meeting pain. And understanding pain is a call to put our affairs in order. The courage to endure pain and not seek to end our own lives comes from Jesus, who endured himself the pain of the cross. Dying in Christ is the confidence you have in the absolution. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven." Dying in Christ is the certainty that you yourself are never alone. Be you single, or if you have outlived your entire family, or you feel the loneliness of the nursing home, glorifying Christ is trusting his word, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Dying in Christ is being certain of your identity, because your true identity is wrapped up with Christ in baptismal grace. You have been made a disciple of Jesus in the waters of holy baptism. The Holy Spirit has worked faith in your heart to the extent that even if you cannot remember your own name, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christians, yes, we struggle and we strive to live a life that is formed and shaped by and into the cross. Let us not forget to die a death that is formed and shaped by and into the cross. And carried by the Good Shepherd, now you see him by faith. When he calls you home, you will see him visibly and gloriously. And so we say, "Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me." He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, it is now last Sunday, this Sunday, rally day for our Sunday school. It's been split into two, and I cannot see over the balcony. Is Addison with us today? Okay, Addison, would you mind coming down and getting a book at Rally Day? And I believe Addison is the only Sunday school. We'll see who's here second service. It's in your Zion's Light, but each of our students, as they progress towards second grade, from the time they're four through second grade, they each receive a book that is given to them. And what Addison will be receiving is my first catechism. It's an illustrated version of the catechism as she changes classes when the pandemic's over, I guess, and the governor of the state says it's okay to gather in such a way that we can have Sunday school classes. Addison, I am just going to set this on the front pew for you, okay? And I want you to go ahead and pick it up. You can take that and put it on the stand by your bed and have Mom and Dad read it to you in the evening. Let us rise for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to grant us the grace to each die a death that honors our Savior, your Son, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. To die that death, strengthen our faith that this day we approach the sacrament of the altar in the confidence that Simeon and Anna approached the infant Christ, so that after having held Christ in our hands, we too may confidently say, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Almighty God, in your good pleasure, you have given to Doug and Angie Marlin 30 years of marriage. As Doug and Angie this week celebrate their anniversary, accept their thanks for the gifts that you have given, the gifts of love and time, children, house, home, and many other things. Grant unto them many more years to celebrate their life together and to rejoice in you, their God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring before you the children of the church, praying for their Christian upbringing and their endurance in the true faith. Grant your angels to watch and guard, protect and keep them from sin. Grant their parents wisdom and patience and wells of love to see them through into adulthood. All these things we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We continue now with the singing of the offertory. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on weekends at 10 and 5 and on weekdays at 8 and 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us rise. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith to life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 869, With the Lord Begin Your Task. Number 869 in the Lutheran Service Book. Before we go, just welcoming the Uphoff family with us and his in-laws. Appreciate your being here and off to Watsika. Yeah. And when are you in the middle of that move now? Sometime this week. Well, Lord's blessings on serving that congregation. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.